Welcome to the Lakeside Baptist Church podcast. We pray you are blessed as you hear the word of God today. For more information regarding Lakeside Baptist Church, please visit lakeside.asn.au.
Yes, thanks team, and a very warm welcome to you all this morning. I extend my welcome to you, and a special welcome to those visiting today for those families. It's always great to have a dedication, amen. Really encouraging to have, yeah, absolutely. Give another round of applause for those guys. Dedicating their young ones today. It's always really, really special in the life of the church. If you're visiting us for the first time as well, a warm welcome to you too. My name's Dan. I'm the lead pastor here at Lakeside Baptist Church. We've had an incredible series over the course of Easter and over the last few weeks called The Generous God. We're going to continue with that today. We're going to finish that series today, The Generous God, looking at God's generosity to us and how we in turn ought to be a generous people. So we finish that today. Next week will be Peter's last service with us. We're looking forward to hearing Peter share with us one last word of encouragement. And then the following week after that, we'll be moving into a new series in the book of Micah as we move into a time of May Mission Month, which is exciting always to be hearing from God's word at May Mission Month. So that's what's coming up in the life of the church. We're going to finish today in the book, also The Generous God, the series in The Generous God. Let me pray for us as we come to this theme now. Well, Father God, as we do come before you, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this morning and the blessing it is to have two beautiful children dedicated to you. And we pray for those families once again that you'll continue to bless them with the wisdom to bring these children up to know you as we dive into that this topic of wisdom here today. We pray your blessing over us as we dive into this. And again, may you fan into flame the gifts you've given me to preach this word that you placed in my heart. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, this week as I reflected on this theme that we're looking at today, wisdom, how God is generous in wisdom, that's what we're looking at today. I was reflecting on my own life. And actually found myself praying that God would bless me with wisdom to be able to bring up my children. I've got three beautiful children of my own. And I realized in light of this theme, in light of this passage that we're going to be looking at in the book of James, how much I need wisdom in order to be the best father I can be to my three beautiful children. And that's the truth for those who have the parents of those who have dedicated their children this morning. You guys will need wisdom to navigate life as parents, won't you? You'll need wisdom indeed to bring up your children in order that they will grow to know him, but also to be the best parents that you can possibly be. And it's hard. It is hard being parents sometimes, but God's desire is to fill us with wisdom in order that we would live this out. And this is true not just for parents here today, but for each and every one of us. We all need wisdom because life is full of making choices, isn't it? Every single day, we are confronted with choices and decisions we have to make. And we need the wisdom to make the right choices. And that is where we are today, again, as we finish this series, The Generous God. God is generous in death, which we looked at on Good Friday. He is generous in life, which we explored on Easter Sunday. He's generous in righteousness. He's generous in giving us his spirit. And this morning we're looking at again how he is generous in giving us wisdom, wisdom for all matters of life. And the book of the Bible that we are in today is the book of James. So if you want to open your Bibles, your devices, your apps, whatever you do to read God's word, we are in the book of James here today, particularly James chapter 1 and also James chapter 3. But this is what it says in James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. His desire, once again, is to generously bestow upon us wisdom from on high, kingdom wisdom. And again, over the past few weeks, we've been exploring together God's generosity, but how we are also called to be a generous people. And we looked at, first of all, God giving us his son in his generosity, in his love, to die on the cross in our place, ultimately so that we may live. And then we looked at Easter Sunday, how in rising again from the grave, he has blessed us with life eternal. Braden looked at us the last 2 weeks ago, how he has gifted us with being made righteous in his sight. And then last week, Jordan explored for us how he has gifted us and blessed us with the gift of his Holy Spirit, all in his generosity, all in his love. And again, if that is not enough, here James. James is the younger brother of Jesus, the wisest man that ever lived. Here in this passage, he says that God's desire in his generosity is to bless you and I with wisdom. Wisdom for now and wisdom for life. Because I believe God's desire for you and I is that we would become wise. Amen? Amen. That's his desire for us, that we would become wise so that in every decision we make, in every action we take, we would choose godly wisdom over worldly wisdom. And if there's a time for wisdom, I believe it is now. In the state of the world, when we look at it in the light of COVID, into the conflicts that we see around the world, in the opposition there is to the church, we need wisdom. But not only when we look at the state of the world, but when we look at our church context at this present time. Obviously, with Peter about to move on, Braden's already left. We need wisdom. I need wisdom. I encourage you to pray for me. I need wisdom. Our management team needs wisdom. You would have seen the letter members sent out to you this week, which the gist of that letter, one of the key things that we spoke about was that we've got teams in place to appoint new staff members to our pastoral team staff. And we pray that you, we ask that you pray for those teams, that they would be blessed with wisdom so that we come to appoint the right people into those roles. Can you do that for us? We really need your wisdom, so please continue to pray for that process. But as a church, we need wisdom more than ever in this current season. But at a more individual level, the reality of life is that life is constantly about making decisions. Have you found that? Every single day, you and I will be faced with making decisions. Some of those decisions are mundane, like what am I going to eat for breakfast? Some of us would have been confronted with that conundrum today. What am I going to eat for breakfast? Some of you, what am I going to wear? That required wisdom on your behalf to choose what you were going to wear. Others just throw whatever on and that's what I'm wearing today. But other decisions, as you'll know from your own lives, are far more serious and have far more reaching implications if we get the decision wrong, if we make the wrong decision. Decisions like, are we going to be generous with our resources and our lives, as we've been looking at? How much should I give to this organization? How much should I give to the work of this our local church? Should I support this organization or that organization? Some decisions have significant consequences, as I said, if we get it wrong. So am I going to marry this man or woman? Am I going to take this job? Do I want to become a parent? Am I going to invade a neighboring country? Obviously, we're not going to be faced with that particular decision, but many of our world leaders are. And we need to be praying that they would be seeking God's wisdom and not the wisdom of the world, as we're going to be exploring here today. But within all of these decisions, what does wisdom tell us about each of these kind of situations? Well, before we go any further, we need to ask ourselves some key questions that you can see on the screen there. What is wisdom exactly? What does it mean to be wise according to God's word, the Bible? How do we harvest it? When James says God is able to generously give us wisdom, what does that look like? How does that manifest in our lives? Well, I think it goes without saying that we get our cue from Jesus here, amen? When it comes to these questions and answering these questions, this man who walked the earth, the wisest man who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior, he said this in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 7, verse 13. It may not come up on the screen, but this is what he says. There is a broad road that leads to death and destruction. Many will walk through that gate, and there is a narrow road that leads to life. So for Jesus in life, when we are confronted with decisions that we have to make, we have two options. To choose the path and the road that leads to life, or to choose the road and path that ultimately leads to death and destruction. Two options, two choices to make. And James picks up on this theme as well. If we turn to James chapter 3, 13 and 18, this is what Jesus' little brother James says in his wisdom in James 3. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." I believe the question before us from that passage, as we read over that, we are confronted again with what choice am I going to make in life ultimately? Do I want a life that is filled with peace and life and righteousness and everything good that comes from God or not? Those are the two paths again that we are presented with, and that James extends on his brother's words by showing us once again these two paths that we have to take. So again, for Jesus and James, we have two paths, two types of wisdom, and each of us has a choice. Again, in every decision we make, to choose the path that leads to life or the path that leads to death and destruction. And again, this kind of wisdom doesn't necessarily apply to the everyday decisions that we make. We're talking about here, James and Jesus are talking about those decisions we make that have kingdom consequences to our souls and our lives, relational consequences as well. And in the Gospels, Jesus also uses a story, a parable about a man who builds his house on sand, in contrast to the man who builds his house on rock. Are we familiar with that story, that parable that Jesus tells? Evidently, the life lesson from that parable is that if you're going to build your house on sand, that's unwise. If you build your house on rock, that's wisdom. Because when the storms of life come, when everything comes down in you, hardship and challenges, those who build their lives on the rock, who are wise, that is Jesus Christ, you will stand firm and you'll get through those challenges in life, those hardships. But those who build their lives on the world and worldly wisdom, ultimately your lives will wither away and be destroyed, and you won't experience the benefits of knowing Jesus Christ. So again, this is the question before you and I. And I cannot reinforce it enough. When you reflect on your life, when I reflect on my life, what path are we taking? The ways of the world or the ways of God? Godly wisdom or worldly wisdom? Well, what's the difference, you may be asking? Well, we're going to dive into that here today. What's the difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom? You know that ad that comes up on our screens quite a lot? Industry Superfund. Jono invests his money in this superfund, and Jim invests in this superfund, the Industry Superfund. I promise I'm not sponsored by Industry Superfunds, but the one who does this is Wise, and they make more money. Well, we're not going to dive into Wise investments as such, but we're looking at the difference. We're going to compare the pair, as it were, between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom, okay? Very briefly, stay with me on this. But what we see James seeking to emphasize here in this passage, and in fact his whole entire letter, is that we can distinguish between the two by what comes out of our lives. So what behaviors, what attitudes are manifesting from our lives? We can see, James says, the kind of wisdom that people have chosen to pursue and embrace by the way they live their lives. He says worldly wisdom is exemplified by bitterness, envy, selfish ambition in their hearts. They deny truth, he says in verse 14 of chapter 3. And this way of life screams that life is all about me. I've earned my living. I've earned my wage. I've done it my way. I will spend my money as I wish. I'm not going to worry about what other people think. In fact, I will get wherever I can in the world, even at the expense of putting myself above others. I just don't really care about anyone else. I only care about myself. I'll spend my money as I wish. I'll spend my time as I wish. This mindset, this attitude screams to me of worldly wisdom. Would you agree? Is this the way of the world? I definitely think so. The question before us is, does that sound like you and I? Individually, collectively, as a church, is that our mindset? Is that our attitude in the decisions we make? Is that what drives the choices that we make, the decisions that we make in life? And I think James, he's been a very bit generous in calling this kind of, well, this attitude and this mindset wisdom. I think he's been quite generous in calling it that. When we think about where the origins of this attitude derive, he says, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I think there's many examples in the Bible as well where we see godly men and women who are called by God to lead and to be models of life in their communities and in their worlds, making poor, unwise decisions that ultimately lead to catastrophic consequences. Many in the Bible, what comes to mind for me, King Solomon, one of the wisest men that ever lived. You can read about his wise teachings in the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. I encourage you to dive into the depths of those two books this week. But he too made unwise choices. His father, King David, one of the greatest kings in Israel's history, he too made unwise, poor decisions in his life, which led to, again, catastrophic consequences. But the man that came to mind for me as I reflected on this sermon this week, as I was reading a devotion, was Samson. You can read about his life in the book of Judges. And if you're not familiar with the story of Samson or the life of Samson, again, in Judges 13 to 16, we read about him, how he was appointed as a key leader or a judge of Israel. And he was blessed with some incredible gifts, leadership abilities, but also this incredible gift of strength, physical strength. And Samson went about his duties as a leader of Israel, but he made some poor choices along the way. The reason for these poor choices was because he was blinded by lust, blinded by women. To the point that in Judges 16 verse 1, it says that one day Samson went down to Gaza where he saw a promiscuous woman, as it were. And he didn't go down there in an Uber. He didn't catch an Uber down there. He didn't catch public transport. He walked thousands and thousands of miles into this predicament, into this situation. Now keep in mind, he was previously married too. This man was blinded by his own selfish desires, his own selfish attitude to life in many ways. And so he takes this path, he makes this decision, and it actually comes to bring about his downfall and the downfall of a whole entire nation, the nation of Israel, in many ways. Because after unwise decision after the other, this woman who he went to see, her name is Delilah, she's actually enlisted by the Philistine army or the Philistine nation to get to the bottom of why this man Samson has such great physical strength and the secret to his physical strength. As we read the text, we read that the secret to his strength is his long locks, which he hasn't cut since birth. And this is weird and strange and itself, and I believe that the Old Testament in many ways has complex stories theologically that it's hard sometimes to wrap our heads around. This is one of those stories. We don't have time to go into the depths of this text theologically, but only to look at the life lesson, I believe, from this story, because he again made an unwise decision. He tells this woman his secret and she betrays him. And that leads again to the Philistine army coming into Israel, taking him hostage. He actually dies because of this decision. He's a man who has tremendous leadership abilities, capabilities given to him by God, incredible strength, gifts that God has given him to further his kingdom. But yet he makes an unwise choice, an unwise decision, and it brings about his downfall and the downfall of Israel. The key thing I think that we need to take note of as we read this text is that this wasn't just one unwise decision. This was unwise decision after unwise decision after unwise decision. One after the other. You probably would have thought he would have got the memo early on, but he doesn't. And if you look at this passage, as well as others in Scripture who make unwise choices, you will notice the pattern that there is one choice after the other that they make, which brings about these catastrophic situations in their lives. And I think the key thing for us to realize out of this text and out of these lessons in the Bible is that it is the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of oneself and their selfish desires that leads to their poor choices. So when we reflect on what James is saying here, when we put ourselves first and we harvest this attitude of me and my interests above others, that is when we will make poor decisions, amen? That is when we lack generosity of heart, when we lack putting others first in our lives, which is the epitome of sin, putting ourselves before God and others, that is when you will and I will make poor choice after poor choice 10 times out of 10. I guarantee it. Choosing ourselves over God and others is exactly what James is talking about here when it comes to the wisdom of the world. And that brings about death and destruction. But on the other hand, as we compare the pair, Jesus and James say there's another kind of wisdom that God wants you and I to embrace. In fact, that he'll give it to you if you ask him for it. And that is godly wisdom, the more superior kind of wisdom for our lives. And this kind of wisdom ultimately is about right attitudes and behavior coming out of right motivations. And this again is what Braden spoke about a few weeks back when we looked at the gift of righteousness that God gives us in him. Because this wisdom is born, I believe, out of this state of righteousness. Our rightness, our state before God. This kind of wisdom comes out of that state of righteousness before him. A wisdom that should ultimately lead to good and generous deeds. Good and generous works. And James says early in chapter 1, he contrasts the one who considers himself or herself religious with the one whose religion is pure and faultless. This, I believe, is the kind of mindset that challenges us to ask ourselves, will we treat others with love and respect? Will we tame our tongues? Or will we use them in one instance to build people up and another instance to put them down behind their backs? Will we give to the needy? Will we assist our needy brothers and sisters? Or will we simply talk about helping them? I believe there's a clear contrast that James is seeking to distinguish between the two for those who have embraced worldly wisdom as opposed to those who embrace godly wisdom. Because godly wisdom, for James, ultimately should see works of generosity overflowing from our lives. Theologian Douglas Moo says it this way, like true faith, true wisdom is identified by the quality of life that it produces. Again, we only have to look at somebody's life to see if they are wise or unwise based on the kingdom fruit that comes out of their life. If they're living out their lives and kingdom fruit is flourishing from their life, good things, then we can look at that and go, he's a wise or she's a wise person. But if it's not, if it's fruit that is decaying, bad fruit, miserable fruit, then we can say that that person probably isn't living their life in such a wise way. But again, we will know if someone's wise from the kingdom fruit that overflows from their life. And James picks up on this in James chapter 3 again. Wise people pursue and embrace peace. They want nothing to do with war or quarreling. Wise people listen and look out for the needs of others. Wise people are teachable. They are willing to submit to others and submit to those God has put in authority. Wise people are merciful. They're impartial. They're sincere, which means they believe in their yes being yes and their no being no. These are the attributes. This is the fruit of those who are wise, James is saying. Wise people, I believe, are just basically people you and I should hang around. Amen. To learn off, to embrace their way of life so that we may live it out in our own life as well. Model them, because this mindset, this attitude will ultimately lead to you making wise decisions 9 times out of 10. Why 9 times out of 10? Because we're not perfect, right? Only Jesus was. Every decision he made was perfect, was wise. But by embracing this way of life, by embracing godly wisdom, our choices, you'll start to see, will become more and more wise. Again, this is the kind of life that Jesus and James is calling you and I to embrace. But the reality is that life is full of scary decisions too sometimes, isn't it? Maybe you're confronted with a scary decision right now. Like this guy choosing to go on this roller coaster. I can relate to this little guy actually, because back in Sydney, they had the Royal Easter Show. They would have had it just recently, being Easter. I think it's similar to your show that's in September, I believe. There's a similar kind of thing here. But I remember going to this Royal Easter Show as a teenager. And there was a ride that I was with my older cousin, and he wanted to go on this ride. And I was a bit hesitant because I hadn't been on the ride like this before. It was quite scary. It was one of those rides that flip around like this and twirl around in the air, and that doesn't look good. People vomit on this thing, right? And so I made an unwise decision, because what was my motivation for going on this ride? I want to impress my older cousin, right? Unwise choice, bad motivation. Anyway, I went on this ride, and it was the most terrifying thing I've ever been on, guaranteed. I think this thing was about 100 years old as well. The harness didn't look so great. So when I'm on this ride, I'm just clinging onto this thing so tightly, believing I was going to die, genuinely. Thought I was going to die on this thing. I was okay, obviously I'm here today. It wasn't too bad. But I remember just clinging onto this thing for dear life so much that after I got off the ride, I looked down. I had this huge purple bruise already starting to form on my arm. I was clinging onto this thing so tightly. But why did I embrace the harness like this? It was because I truly believed that this harness was going to stop me from dying, just like this little fella here, grabbing onto his mom or whoever that is in the harness. I believed wholeheartedly that it was going to stop me from dying, which I truly believed that this harness became loose. And sometimes life can be like this, can't it? We're confronted with scary decisions to make. Some of you may have that moment right now where you're in the middle of a scary decision you have to make. Some of us may be confronted with having to put people off work in your workplace. That's a scary decision to make, particularly if you're a boss. Maybe you're on the other side of that and you're confronted with the decision that you're maybe going to be one of those put off and you need to either take the redundancy or go find work elsewhere. Maybe you're wondering if you need to sell the family home and downsize to make ends meet. Maybe you're confronted with a decision we were recently to bring our family to the other side of the country, leaving our immediate family behind. That was a scary decision for us, one we had to trust God in. Life can be so good sometimes, but other times we can be confronted with these kind of situations, these kind of decisions we need to make, and the reality is we need wisdom to make them, amen? We need godly wisdom to make the right choices in each of these decisions. And so the question before us is, where do we find this kind of wisdom from? As we dive into what James is saying here, ultimately I believe that we find this wisdom by going to the depths of God's word, amen? Every single day, go into God's word to nourish you, to bless you, to help you navigate life's challenges at times. We need to be embracing God's word, as it were, to help us navigate through life. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom." Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. We gain wisdom by nourishing ourselves in God's word, marinating ourselves in God's word. That is how we become wise, ultimately. That is a source by which God blesses us and gives us generously wisdom. And some of us here today may be thinking, yeah, maybe I've been tapping into worldly wisdom for far too long. Look where it's got me. In debt, up to my neck in debt, separated, divorced, my kids are estranged from me, broken down relationships. If this is you, may I encourage you to seek the alternative first and foremost, which is godly wisdom, Jesus Christ. But in that, I believe strongly there is redemption for us when we make these decisions too, amen. There is forgiveness, there's redemption, and God's desire is to again help us to pursue his way of life in every decision we make. Ultimately, as a church, as we finish up here today, we need wisdom for now, individually, collectively, as we navigate the season of life we're in, but also wisdom for life, because life is full of decisions and choices that you and I need to make. And my heart for us today, individually, collectively, as we finish this series, is that we would embrace God's word, that we would embrace godly wisdom and not the wisdom of the world, that we would embrace this state of righteousness and allow God to do a work in our hearts so that what comes out of it pleases Him again, honors Him, that He may fill us, that we may overflow with generosity and kind works. Amen. That's my heart for us, and that's my prayer for us as a church. And I'm going to pray that prayer in just a moment, but I want to encourage you, if you're confronted with a scary decision that you need to make right now, where you're like, I don't know where to go, I'm lost, I'm confused, I'm anxious, or if you just want to obey the words of James there and say, if I feel like I'm lacking wisdom, Lord, I need wisdom. I want to encourage you after the service, after we're done, to come to the area of prayer just up in the corner there next to the grandstand. I want to pray for you particularly. If you just want wisdom, I want to pray for you. And we're going to have some of the elders there too. Hopefully Peter, I haven't asked him yet, but hopefully he might hang around and pray as well. If you want prayer, if you just want wisdom, if you feel like you lack it and you just want it, I believe we should all be down there, amen? The whole church, down in that corner after the service. But if that's you, if you genuinely feel led by the Holy Spirit to go and have someone lay hands and pray for you, then I want to encourage you to do that. Because I did the very same thing in my early 20s. When I heard a pretty much exactly, well, similar sermon preached at my church at the time, the pastor encouraged us at the end of the service to come to the front and have one of our elders, who is one of the most wisest people I've ever met, lay hands on you and pray that God would bless you with wisdom. I was one of those people. And let me tell you, I'm still growing, I'm still maturing, I'm not there yet. But I believe God honored that prayer and gave me aspects of wisdom for my life that I believe He desires to give each and every one of us here today. So again, if that's you, if you feel led to come down and ask God for wisdom, then we want to pray for you. But also, if you're confronted with a scary situation where you don't know where to head, I encourage you to come forward and we'd love to pray for you in that as well. As the team come back on stage, let me pray for us as we finish up our time here today. Well, Father, as we reflect on your word in this instance, as we reflect on once again your desire for our lives, your desire is that we would embrace you first and foremost, embrace your word, but also embrace godly wisdom for our lives, because that ultimately leads to life and peace and righteousness.